I'm Norman Caruso. Steven, the Super Bowl teams have been decided. It'll be the Patriots versus the Giants. Who you got?
I'm Steven Duncan. I got the Giants, but I'm pretty sure no matter what happens, Eli is still going to have that permanent dumb look on his face.
And you're listening to the Level 7 Podcast. And welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. On today's episode, Mass Effect 3 launches on Origin instead of Steam.
We talk about a Mario Kart 7 glitch.
And our main topic, what is your favorite boss fight of all time? So Steven, how have you been?
I've been pretty good, if not a little busy, because of football and trying to get the opportunity to watch it. Norm, how have you been?
I've been good. Just working on videos. We got the website. We got a new lineup I did want to talk about real quick. Every Monday we have, of course, us here on the podcast.
Woohoo.
On Wednesdays we'll have an article, and on Fridays we'll have an article. And, of course, we have gaming historian videos once a month because they take a lot of time.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, they certainly do. But let's go ahead and get into this podcast. So, Steven, the ESA is supporting the Stop Online Piracy Act. So, in response, many gaming websites are not going to cover E3 this year, which is the ESA's biggest moneymaker. After the bill stalled, the ESA has now withdrawn their support. What's up with that?
It's them wanting to make their money back. There's obviously an outpouring of the negative reaction to SOPA and PIPA. And I'm pretty sure they didn't care until they realized that it's going to affect their money with E3 and that the bills have stalled and maybe they're fighting for a greater good, or what they think is a greater good that's just not going to come about.
Yeah, what basically happened is ESA came out and said, okay, they are going to support SOPA. And so all these gaming websites came together and said, fine, we just won't cover E3, which is where you make all your money. And they actually released a video, you know, spreading the word about, hey, we're not going to cover E3. And I guess the ESA might have taken notice of that.
I would imagine so. If your biggest moneymaker is starting to get a boycott, that's going to make you notice something. If you want someone to pay attention, affect their wallet.
Yes. And what's interesting is SOPA would affect not only this show, but thegaminghistorian.com, the actual Gaming Historian videos. So I'm glad that the bill has been basically killed.
Right. It'll affect anything or anybody trying to, you know, use or mention copyrighted material. The good thing is SOPA and PIPA have both been shelved as of this recording.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean it can't be brought up, because I'm pretty sure SOPA has been shelved once before and then it got brought back. But yeah, it's good to see that all the outpouring of support against it has, you know, people have took notice of it, and maybe people are doing the right thing and trying to make the correct steps to get stalled.
Postponed indefinitely is where it's at.
Let's hope it stays that way. Mass Effect 3, which launches on March 6th for PC and consoles, will reportedly not be on Steam, but instead, Origins, EA's version of game distribution. To quote them, Steam has adopted a set of restrictive terms of service which limit how developers interact with customers to deliver patches and other downloadable content. What do you make of this, Norm?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Mass Effect 3 is being published by Electronic Arts, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well then, that just makes total sense to me. Why would you let them, if you're publishing a game, why would you let them release the game on your competitor's platform.
Right. And if you have your own distribution, you know, with the online distribution thing, why let someone else muck up what you want to do terms and conditions wise?
Right.
It's still available, so there shouldn't be too big of a controversy. Like, it's still available to PC people, and it's not that big of a deal for EA, because the PC gaming market is important because that is how some people are going to play it. However, it's not as important as the console market is in regards to this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's going to drive the sales, is the console market.
Well, now, they didn't say they won't be releasing it on Steam. It will come to Steam just at a later date. It's just launching on Origins.
Right. I would like to know what these restrictions are that Steam, or that they're talking about with Steam, because Steam was heralded as this wonderful thing for the PC gaming community.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming from somebody who's not exactly burying his nose into the PC gaming market. But this is the first time I've heard of a developer come out and speak out against Steam. So it could be like a legitimate issue. Maybe we'll hear more about it. Or EA is just trying to give an excuse or a reason to stall, like, not to go to Steam. Maybe they just want people to notice their distribution thing. Maybe they're trying to change things up or shake something up.
It's the downfall of Steam. It's ending.
Yeah.
It's over.
This is what's going to do
it. This is it. All right. A glitch in Mario Kart 7, which allows a player to skip one-third of the track, which is known as Maka Wuhu, will not be fixed. Nintendo claims doing so would create an unfair advantage for the users of the original release of the game. Is this a smart move?
This is bullcrap's what it is.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
I don't understand how fixing something that's wrong gives other people an advantage. Not fixing what's wrong gives people an advantage.
So here's their reasoning. If you own the original release of the game, your time trial, you know, you can upload your time trial online and people can compete against it. Mm-hmm. Anyone who owned the original cart, their time trial time would be insanely good.
You know what? And you and I discussing this made me just remember or just think about the Wii can't have patches.
You mean the 3DS?
I'm so sorry. I don't know why I was thinking about the Wii. Yes. The 3DS can't really have patches, can it?
Well, it can, because the 3DS, you're able to download firmware updates. But here's the thing. Those updates are optional. It's not required. So, again, if it's optional, then you can't force somebody to download the Mario Kart 7 patch. I feel like they should be able to do that, though, for online play. Just like, well, if you're not going to download the patch, then you can't play online.
Right. I think they should release the patch. Patching is a great advance in the gaming culture and in the gaming technology, because we are humans. We all have the human condition. We are not infallible. And that includes game testers. So when you do the game testing, you're going to miss stuff. Patching lets you create the game that you set out to create. It lets you fix your mistakes. There's no medium allows that except for video games. Why not embrace it?
Yeah, and I know the Wii and the 3DS both have kind of odd ways of patching games. I know Skyward Sword also had a big glitch, which they've since fixed, I believe, but I really think they should patch that track, because when I play online, everyone chooses that track because of the glitch.
Exactly. Norm, PS Vita sales dropped below 200,000 last week, coming in fourth place overall. It's being beaten out by the original PSP and the Nintendo 3DS. Is it time to hit the panic button for the Vita?
Not quite yet. I'm not going to hit the panic button yet. It's still a new system. Just give it a little time. If after a few months, you know, I think the first years is the most important for a system. The PS Vita hasn't been even out for a year yet. It's still got some time.
Right.
It's still got games coming out.
Can you give me the light at the end of the tunnel for this situation? Can you give me like that glimmer of hope that like will might pull the Vita out of the slump?
Well, I don't know if I can because I'm not a fan of the Vita.
Right. It's hard to come up with, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you in saying that maybe not exactly today is the time to hit the panic button for Vita, but if I'm Sony, I'm really close to hitting it. I'm really close to thinking, oh man, maybe I'm at least rethinking my strategy.
Yeah.
I'm at least trying to find that glimmer of hope or that light at the end of the tunnel. Because you're getting beat out by the original PSP.
That's sad.
Yeah, that's a game that was being, or that's a system that was being dominated by other systems. And now, on its last, absolute last legs, it's beating out your new cutting edge technology game system. That should not be happening. At least don't let your own product beat your new product. That's you know, cannibalistic marketing.
It's definitely not good to see, especially in Japan, because Japan was supposed to be the market where the PS Vita would kind of set the tone
and kind of flourish.
And flourish too, yeah. And I would think it would at least be in second place. Like, it would be right behind the 3DS. But it's right behind the original hardware.
Right, and we've talked about, you know, the launch lineup. So I'm really curious to see how this turns around, because that launch lineup actually looked pretty good for, you know, for a new console.
Well, that's it for our first four topics. When we come back, our main topic: what is your favorite boss fight of all time?
Will we have theme music?
It will. We'll have rockin' theme music.
Yes!
We'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
Hey, welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, it's time for our main topic. We all hear about, you know, what's your favorite game? Who's your favorite character? What's your favorite music? How about, what's your favorite boss fight of all time? And this, I got this idea because ScrewAttack.com just started a new show called The Best Ever, where they have different topics. If they talk about, you know, the best, whatever they want to talk about. And sure, they did their best ever boss fight. So I just thought, well, what are our favorite boss fights? So, Steven, you go first. What is your favorite boss fight of all time?
So I don't have a singular favorite boss fight. Hate to go against the grain there. However, there are games that have a collection of bosses that make me giddy.
Okay, what is it?
The first game I thought of when you asked me favorite bosses, basically, was Final Fantasy IV.
Okay.
Final Fantasy IV was really the first game where I noticed the detail in structuring the boss fights. Each one had its own little gimmick. Like, you had to figure out, you know, what were they weak against, essentially.
Yes.
And that's usually where it starts. And then each one kind of comes with its own kind of gimmick. Like, I'm thinking of the Magus Sisters, where if you don't kill them in the correct order, they're going to completely obliterate you. Then there's the Ant Lion, which you fight pretty early, where it's going to completely counterattack. So you have to decide what to do with your three party members, because it counterattacks with a very deadly physical attack. And two of those characters are mages who don't do well on the defensive side of combat.
So if you had to pick one boss from Final Fantasy IV, which one would probably be your favorite?
Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. It I'm torn between the final boss fight, of course, because it's just really hard to, forget the fight was Aramis. It was really fast paced. It was really intense. It had the difficulty warranted of a final boss.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also torn between the summon battles.
Okay.
Bahamut, Asura, and Leviathan.
Yeah.
Because Bahamut and Odin. Because with Bahamut and Odin, like, you just had to go in there and just go as fast as you could, and to have quick reflexes during a turn-based RPG is kind of a unique thing, especially back then. And with Asura, and to kind of a lesser degree, Leviathan, you had to fail once and figure out what to do. Like with Asura, you had to realize to cast wall against her, and then it's all, peaches and gravy afterwards. So those really stood out. Like I said, that game just has a collection of boss fights that are fantastic. The fact that they're so well thought out in regards to what to do against them, how to not copy bosses before, who you have in your party. It was a success in that department.
So I know you're a big fan of Final Fantasy VI as well.
I actually thought about that game as well.
So would you say, do you like 4 better or 6 better? I'm going to call you out here. Is 4 or 6 better?
As a game or in regards to bosses?
As a game.
As a game, it's 6.
Okay.
I love 4 to absolute death, but 6 is probably my favorite game of all time.
You just have a crush on Shadow.
Yeah, I really used to when Shadow was my favorite character amongst any video game as when we were growing up.
I remember seeing your pictures in your notebook, and I thought this guy's got a problem.
Yeah, I really did. Good thing I got therapy.
There you go.
It didn't help too much. Norm, what's your favorite boss fight of all time?
Well, we're going to be called out for being Final Fantasy fanboys this episode, because my favorite, and for many reasons, my favorite is Emerald Weapon from Final Fantasy VII. I'll tell you why.
Okay. Because I can actually jump in on this. I mean, obviously, after you're done, but okay. That was something I thought of too.
All right. And I'm going to explain why. First of all, it's one of those bosses. First of all, it's a boss you see on the world map.
Right.
And when you go underwater for the first time and you see that thing swimming around, you're like, what is that? And I admit, I ran into it with my submarine. Okay. And first of all, the boss is enormous. And
yes.
It's one of the, and Final Fantasy VII was one of those games, I guess technology wise, Emerald Weapon looked very menacing when you go up against it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, I'm going to fight this guy. Of course, he whoops your ass first time you play against him. And you're just like, oh my God. And there's a time limit too, because you don't have the materia for, for the underwater breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. And then ever since then, it was so scary when you're underwater and that thing is swimming around.
It just makes you flip balls when you see him.
Yeah.
You run away like it's a survival horror game.
Yeah, along with the music playing in the background, because the world map, the overworld music was kind of creepy and dark and gloomy. And then you see that giant Emerald Weapon swimming around.
The worst part of it all is when you submerge your submarine and he is just right in front of you.
Yeah.
Tell me you don't scream a little bit every time that happens.
Oh my God.
It's coming for me.
And see, Ruby Weapon, which was the other optional boss, was stuck in the sand, like in one of the deserts. So it was pretty easy to avoid Ruby Weapon. But Emerald Weapon was pretty common. You might accidentally run into him. But the reason he's my favorite is because I had beaten the game, and the last thing I had to do was beat the optional bosses. And I said, okay, I beat Ruby Weapon pretty easily, but Emerald Weapon, that took a lot of grinding.
Yes, it
took
does.
A lot, you know, getting the materia to breathe underwater, getting Knights of the Round Table, getting Mimic so you can copy Knights of the Round Table.
Mm-hmm.
That was my strategy, just get like the most powerful stuff and use it. There's a lot of strategies. There's one strategy I saw online. Vincent has I can't remember if it's a Limit Breaker or materia, but it's like an execution move, and you have like a chance to instant kill the enemy.
Hmm.
Do you remember that move Vincent has?
No, I don't. I didn't know that worked on that.
There's some move, and if you attach a certain materia to it, then it's like 100% chance instant kill no matter what enemy it is.
Wow.
Of course, I didn't know that back playing it, but I used Cloud, Barret, and Cid. They were all level 99. And I remember when I beat Emerald Weapon, I wasn't expecting to beat him. I just said, I'll just try it for the hell of it, and I won. And it was just such an accomplishment because, one, it was like I finally completed Final Fantasy VII.
Right.
And I'd beaten one of the hardest bosses I had ever faced because you've got to not only kill Emerald Weapon, you got to kill all of his little jewel things that shoot lasers and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite boss fight of all time. There's such an accomplishment beating him. It was so tough, but it was so worth it.
I had my experience with Emerald Weapon was very, very similar in that he was the last thing I did.
Yeah.
I had maxed that game out and had completed the game pretty much 100% with the exception of him. I had my characters at level 99 as well. And I beat Ruby Weapon. I was excited going into that fight and then was disappointed because of the way I beat him. It was kind of a cheap way to do it, and I felt unsatisfied. And when I tried fighting Emerald Weapon, I failed miserably, being level 99 and having the best everything. You know?
Yeah.
And pretty much rage quit for about 2 years, actually. And then one day, I don't know what happened. I'm like, I'm going to beat Emerald Weapon. I put it in. I did a couple more things to help me get ready for the fight. I went in with Cloud, Cid, and Yuffie, as opposed to your Barret.
Mm-hmm.
And when I remember playing that game, you know, when you're really anxious about something, you start to sweat and you jitter a little bit. That's how I was with Emerald Weapon. And when I beat it, it was very satisfying.
Very. Okay, so I just looked up the glitch. The move where you can instant kill Emerald Weapon. It's actually a glitch in the game.
Oh.
Vincent has a move called Death Penalty. And basically, the more...
That's not a move, that's his weapon.
Okay, it's a weapon. And basically, the more enemies you kill with Death Penalty, the better chance you have of instant killing enemies.
Huh. I didn't know about that property.
I guess, okay, not instant killing. The stronger it gets. The Correct. Stronger the weapon gets, the more you kill with it. Well, if you kill 65,535 enemies with Vincent, with that weapon, basically the glitch, you instantly kill anything with his weapon.
God. That's,
So that's how you kill Emerald Weapon in one hit. You just shoot him with Vincent and he
dies. But you waste 13 years of your life getting to that kill total first.
Yeah.
That's kind of sick.
That's true.
Oh, go ahead.
I think the way I did it was... that did take a while, but probably wouldn't have taken as long as that.
No. I just got the best stuff and then blitzed him with all my best stuff. Just some quick other games, just so they... So I at least honor their name.
Sure.
No More Heroes has some good boss fights, not because of the difficulty or anything, but just because of the character they give to the boss fights.
Uh-huh.
anything from the Shin Megaten series has mm-hmm. really good boss fights, just because it's in the same vein of Final Fantasy IV, where you have to do a certain thing. There are certain tactics, but they're all difficult.
Right.
And as a personal thing, Mega Man X2, not the X series, just very specifically X2. I have very fond memories of those 8 bosses.
And I'm going to say Mega Man in general, just the way you have to beat the bosses and use their power-ups to defeat other bosses, very well designed. Mm-hmm. And those, I mean, boss fights are a staple of that game.
Correct.
So those are our favorite boss fights of all time. And Steven, you got any last words for that?
Hey, if you have any thoughts or comments on what your favorite boss fights are, please get a hold of us through Facebook or email.
Yeah, let us know. And we'll comment on it and see if we agree with you.
Doubt it.
All right, coming up next, our last 3 topics. And then, Steven, I have good news for you.
Oh, really? What is it?
Oh, I can't tell you till after we do these 3 topics.
No!
We'll be right back.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, we're winding down. This is it.
We need to hurry up because I want to hear what this good news is.
Oh, okay. All right, Resident Evil 6 has officially been confirmed for release.
Yay!
Raccoon City is a setting, and both Leon Kennedy and Chris Redfield will be main characters. Should Capcom be expecting this game to be a big hit for them?
I shouldn't have woohooed. I'm not exactly excited for this game.
Why is that?
We can get into that into a little bit. But to get to the point of shit...
You're not boycotting this game, are you?
Not necessarily boycotting. It's just a game that I'm not not really into. It's not worthy of my boycott.
We need to keep a list on the website of series you're currently boycotting and why.
I will get that list together. So, but Capcom should be expecting at least a marginal hit on their hands. I do think it'll be financial success. And if the gameplay is what it is, then it might be a critical success if it follows kind of Resident Evil 4.
Oh, well, it's Resident Evil. I mean, this thing's going to be huge.
Well, it's going to sell. You're right.
It's going to get rated highly too, I bet.
Probably. I don't agree with usually the high ratings. And the reason I'm not excited about it is because of the gameplay. I saw the trailer. I loved the cinematics and the mood and the production and all that. However, when I saw that it is that Resident Evil 4 kind of gameplay, I was like, okay, now I'm not interested.
Every game should get a 10 out of 10. Every game ever made. 10 out of 10.
No.
That's what reviews seem like these days, doesn't it?
It does seem like some games or gamers are being pandered to. However, I am going to go against the grain with the Resident Evil series. After playing Resident Evil 4, I really kind of stopped playing it because the gameplay, the whole run around, stop, shoot, run around, stop, shoot. I don't like that gameplay. And then there's other things like the inventory. And
what are you buying?
Yeah, well, that guy was actually... He was creepy, but he was cool.
It was a cool way to buy stuff.
Right. So it they'll enjoy the success. You'll just enjoy it without me.
All right. Yeah.
Twisted Metal has gone gold, but David Jaffe's desire to leave the online pass behind was denied.
I called it. We called it, didn't we?
You did.
Yeah.
Are you excited for the newest addition to the series?
First of all, I want to say, I called it. I called it. I knew this was going to happen. Yeah. Because Sony, got to have those online passes now. It's so important.
Yeah.
But I've always liked Twisted Metal, back to its origins on the PlayStation. It's a lot of fun game. Unfortunately, I don't own a PlayStation 3.
I'm sorry.
So, I'm super excited for this game, but I just don't know if I'll be able to play it because... Should I buy a PlayStation 3 just to play Twisted Metal? I don't think so.
No, I doubt that. I am excited for this game to come out because vehicular combat is something that isn't beaten to death. Because Twisted Metal, I mean, there's a couple of games here and there throughout gaming history that's tried it, but Twisted Metal is really the only series that pushes that genre along. The production values of Twisted Metal, down to the mood and the story, they've always been top notch. Twisted Metal Black, which is the one I had the most experience with, I love just kind of going through it and experiencing the characters, mm-hmm. which is kind of odd because it's a car fighting game.
Yeah, and the ones on the PlayStation didn't really get into a story that much. It was just kind of drive around and shoot the other cars, which was hella fun.
Right. I think this game I'm actually pretty inept at, and not for lack of trying. I get behind, if you put me behind a real car and tell me to kill things with it, I think I'd be pretty proficient with it. But if you put me behind two analog sticks and tell me to drive a car and kill things with it, I'm not terribly great at it.
Well, yeah, I've always liked the Twisted Metal series, so I'm excited to play it, but...
But that online pass thing, I mean, David Jaffe, we were hoping that it wasn't going to come to fruition, that Sony was going to force him to do it. But lo and behold, the online pass has succeeded once again.
It has. And our final topic, Diablo 3 has gone through more sweeping changes to the system. Will this game be out anytime soon, and will it be worth the wait?
I don't think it's going to be out anytime soon. It's already been in production for a while, and now they're making sweeping changes again, which they have to test again, and then they might make changes after that, and then they have to test again. But I do think that it will be worth the wait if we're talking about a similar online system to what Diablo 2 was.
Mm-hmm.
If Diablo 3 compares to Diablo 2 in any positive way, then it would be worth the wait. Diablo 2 for me was my PC game. I've said on this broadcast that I haven't really delved into PC gaming. I can't tell you the amount of hours I've logged into Diablo 2 over the years. Mm-hmm. Not over like this span of like 1 or 2 years. I mean from when I bought it when I was 15 to now.
So you still play it?
I actually bought the treasure chest because I had the itch to play it, and I lost my copy when I moved cross country and installed it and redid all my characters as recently as last year. And something tells me I'm going to have the itch to play it again sometime soon and boot it back up.
Well, I think this is a good thing. This is actually one of the few times I've seen like a company put out a beta and then actually respond to people playing the beta. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, so this worked, this didn't work, and they're going to make the changes. And they made a good point. They said, you know, when we release Diablo 3, people aren't going to remember it for, oh, it was a delayed game, they delayed it. They're going to remember it for, this was a great game.
Right. Now, no one really...
The only time, though, you'll remember it for a delay is if it's delayed 10 years, like Duke Nukem Forever.
Exactly. I think they're going to give us a polished game that we're going to enjoy, that it will be worth the wait, and that all of these delays will be for a reason that's going to have a positive impact on the experience.
Yes. All right, Steven, are you ready for your good news?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, last week you mentioned... You're not going to get Sonic CD because Sonic Boom is missing.
Correct.
I have good news.
Oh, what's this?
Sonic Boom is in the game.
Where?
You have to go to the options and change the soundtrack to the US version. And then Sonic Boom will play.
Norm, I swear to you, if you're lying to me, I'm getting the earliest flight out of here tonight, and I'm going to murder you.
No, it's we got a message on Twitter that Sonic Boom is indeed in the game, and I think it's annoying that it's not like the default music playing, but you just go in the options and change the soundtrack to the US version.
Norm, I might fly out to hug you, and whoever gave us that response on Twitter, if I knew you in person, I would hug you too.
See, there you go. The soundtracks for the Japanese version and the US version were really different, but they were both really good. So
as long as I get Sonic Boom, all I care about.
What if I just sang it to you?
Do me a favor.
Okay.
Call me later tonight as I rest my head on my pillow and sing it to me, and it will be the best thing you could do for me, Norman.
I could whisper it to you.
It would be fantastic. All right. Oh, Kevin's going to rail us on that, too.
That's okay. So that's all I had to say, Steven. That's the good news I had.
That's probably some of the best news I've heard all day.
Good. What if I was like, just kidding, there is no Sonic Boom?
Then you know what's going to happen. I'm going to pay the absurd money that it takes to fly out to where you live.
All right. Well, that's all I had for you. Again, this is the Level 7 Podcast. You can watch old episodes on level7podcast.com. You can talk to us on Twitter at level7cast. We're also on Facebook. You'll just have to search for us. And we have an email address. This new thing, I don't know if you've heard of this, it's called an email address.
Steve? I know. It boggled my mind that we have an alternative to snail mail now.
Yeah, it stands for electronic mail. And you can reach us at level7cast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and apparently Gmail is one of the big things for this email.
Yeah, it's run by Google.
Huh.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Steven, your final thoughts?
I'm going to go listen to Sonic Boom.
What's for dinner?
Hamburger Helper.
Ah, that's
disappointing. I actually know this week. Yeah, I know.
Disappointing. I do like the cheeseburger Hamburger Helper.
We don't eat that in this household.
Why not?
It has been banned.
Why?
From a power much more powerful than I.
The girlfriend?
Yes.
Why?
Her taste buds supersedes mine.
That's some bull.
Well, it's either that or I sleep on the futon.
Okay. Well, from all of us here at Level 7 Podcast,
all
two of us. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.